travel at speeds pushing 200 miles per hour. The very best drivers in the world putting their lives on the line every week. It's time to get the lowdown on this week's contenders, plus a look at the key driver matchups. Right now, on Gone Racing.
Welcome into another issue of Gone Racing. Jeff Motley alongside Brendan Gaughan here at the VSiN Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino. And Brendan, we are now fully into the playoffs, and it was a pretty good day for some people and not such a good day for others at Darlington this past weekend.
We are fully into the playoffs. It happened. We have a new timer this week. So, if you follow along the show, things are going to be different. We, of course, got the guinea pig job.
We're the first ones.
They picked the best to go first.
I guess so. The right? Two non-professionals.
trust me. We're professionals. But, yes, the playoffs have started. Wow. First, without betting. Wow, what a finish.
Oh, yeah, incredible finish. Kyle Larson went all video game mode there, and he said, look, he goes, I'm just going to go as fast as I can and let the wall turn my car.
Remember the Carl Edwards at Kansas years ago? It reminded me of that move.
Right, and here's the deal. If Denny had come off the wall at all, Kyle might have won the race. I mean, it was a great move, and you could only do that in the final turn of the final lap because he knew he was going to tear his car up.
Car's destroyed. But amazing race. As the bettors go, is an amazing deal for them. I mean, just unbelievable show. A lot of guys, a lot of names right now, Mr. Motley, behind that cut line that we did not expect.
Well, I mean, when you see early on in the race, first off, early in the race, you have three of the four Hendrick cars had trouble. Now, Alex Bowman did manage to finish, even though it was a couple laps down.
But you texted me like, I couldn't watch the race live, and I got the text. I'm sitting on the beach in Mexico, and I get this text of three of the four Hendrick cars. I'm like, dang it, there's my fantasy team.
Well, yeah, Chase Elliott obviously had trouble. William Byron was actually a victim of Alex Bowman's earlier problems. So two Hendrick cars in one accident there. Kyle Busch crashing out of the race, not running well even when he did crash out of the race, a little contact with Austin Dillon. But, yeah, you're sitting there right now with guys like William Byron and Kyle Busch, a couple of guys that we thought could be William Byron as a dark horse to win this thing. And Kyle Busch, I mean, we know how well – and, look, he's got Richmond and Bristol in his next two races. I'm not really worried about Kyle missing the next round.
Listen, I've been bragging about William Byron, three quarters of the season now? Talking about William, talking about how great, you know, he's been doing, and now he's on behind the cut line. It's still early. There's two races to go. But still, a lot of things were shaken up, a lot of names we didn't expect to be in that bottom quarter of the field right now are there. But amazing race. How about some names in that top 10, Motley, that you and I did not expect?
Well, especially in third spot.
That's one of them. I mean, you know, if Denny Hamlin's odds and all that stuff, but there's some names in this top 10 that ended up big time.
Well, Ross Chastain came in with a third place finish, which was huge for him.
Look at ninth and tenth.
Yeah, look at ninth and tenth. Chris Buescher, Austin Dillon. So you've got three of your top 10 finishers were guys that are not in the playoffs. And look, we got to give a little shout to Denny Hamlin. A guy hadn't won a race all regular season.
We've been dogging him.
He came. He came to play. He had a great, great week, and that's a great time to get that momentum going. We know how well he can run at some of these other playoffs. He was plus 700 to win Group A. He was plus 330.
The dog in Group A, too. We talked about that.
He was the dog in Group A, and he won his head-to-heads with Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr., played 140, 110, and 110 in all of those. So there was money to be made on Denny Hamlin last week.
Yeah, I mean, look, plus 700, he hadn't won. We said, you know, when we talked about Group A last week, I remember we said, hey, Denny Hamlin plus 330. You know, he hasn't won, but that was a time to do it. Look, the champion, the cream rises to the top, right now, and Denny Hamlin got the win that I would have lost my house if you told me he hadn't won up to this point. And then that top 10 was phenomenal. I mean, Kyle Larson, of course, being a minus, we didn't have top threes last week, but Kyle Larson would have been a minus to be a top three. Ross Chastain would have been a pretty good return on a top three.
He would have been a huge top three. Probably would have come in about 15 or 16 to 1.
I bet. So that was a heck of a run for them. But once again, our guy that keeps cashing tickets, Kurt Busch up there, and Kevin Harvick, who we've kind of, you know, we're poo-pooing Kevin pretty bad, but there he is.
Well, Kevin had a solid run. And look, Kurt's run was even more incredible because if you remember on the last pit stop, he had to come back in, started at the end of all the cars on the lead lap, which was about 16th, I believe. And in about the last 12 laps, worked his way all the way up to sixth and was gaining on Harvick. So it was a good run for him.
It was a very good run.
Now, one thing that this has done by having the race be bad for some and good for others, it's kind of mixed up. I won't say messed up. It is mixed up the odds to win the championship now. Now, we talked about getting in early. So if you took Denny Hamlin last week, he was plus 750. Denny is down to 400. Certainly,
whoa, big mover.
He was certainly a big mover. The other guy that was sort of a big mover that I look at is Kurt Busch. He went from being 30-1 to being 20-1. So another big move there. But then we also saw moves in the other direction. Chase Elliott went from a plus 500 to plus 700 now. Kyle Busch, a plus 650 to a plus 850. There's a couple of big ones there. Oh, by the way, Ryan Blaney, another good move from 16-1 to 10-1.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've been talking about this for weeks now, Motley, about your futures. If you're going to bet, and there's ways to hedge your bets here on the championship side, but you got to take the ebb and flow. Kevin Harvick staying the same, hasn't moved. You got that Ryan Blaney, that big jump forward. We told you last week, if you wanted to get on it, jump on it now. You kind of missed that boat. Kyle Busch, gone the right way for bettors. You can jump on him. And William Byron, there it is. It's back up to 16-1, and Alex Bowman have dropped to 18-1. There's your opportunity. These are guys that had one bad race. You get a knee-jerk reaction from the odds makers, and now they've got them probably undervalued. You got to pick them now.
Well, I was going to say, I think if you want to go bet Kyle Busch or Chase Elliott for the championship, do it right now. Because, look, their odds, unless one of them blows an engine and finishes last at Richmond, their odds are not going to get any higher than what they are right now.
No, and that's the point, is unless it gets more difficult, unless they have something catastrophic and they have to get a win to get in, you know, they will keep those odds will keep going the other direction. So as bettors, you got to watch the odds, you got to watch when, and timing is super important, guys. You got to know when to jump on board on those things.
Well, and now we're looking ahead this weekend. We finished up Darlington, so now we're in one of those the rocking chair races for the first set, you know, the middle race, you know what they call it, the rocking chair, you know, when you're in the middle.
The penultimate.
The penultimate of the first round of the playoffs, which, considering it's only three rounds, it sounds silly to say penultimate, but I know you just like that word. You and Pete Pistone like that word. But we're going to Richmond Raceway this weekend. So, first off, a guy who struggled last weekend at Darlington was Alex Bowman, who's been very outspoken about how much he hates Richmond Raceway.
But Nobody hates it more than me.
But who won the spring race at Richmond this year?
Let me look at my stats real quick.
I think it was a guy named Alex Bowman. So if you're Alex Bowman, you know, and obviously if you're Kyle Busch and a Chase Elliott, you're going into Richmond with a great deal of confidence, because that's a track that for Chase and for Kyle they've run well at, and for Alex,
and
he's got a win now. Well, Denny's already got his win now for the next round. So he, you know, granted, he's now just trying to add points to his total.
So I was talking a lot about the package, where the Fords have had their better package. Richmond, Darlington was the only race that's over a mile and a half that ran that package.
Well, they're not a mile and a half. There's a 1.3 at Darlington.
But everything over a mile runs it except for Darlington, because the way they like to have the tires wear out. So Richmond and Bristol both continue with the high horsepower, low downforce package. So you're going to go to Richmond with this same thing, and the Fords are going to be good again. So you're going to go to Bristol, the Fords are going to be good.
So you're expecting, this is where Ryan Blaney's going to because I think Blaney might be the top Ford guy out there.
This is where I start seeing, if you look at the guys that have history at Richmond that are so good, you got Kevin Harvick with three wins. You've got Ryan Blaney with no wins, but Ryan Blaney is going to run well there, I believe. The Fords will be very underrated. Their odds are going to be better this week. Here's a week you can jump on them. But when you look at history at Richmond, Denny Hamlin, three wins. Kevin Harvick, three wins. But look at that Kyle Busch, six wins at Richmond. I mean, that he's pretty dang tough at Richmond.
Well, 24
right
top tens in 31 races.
That's
fantastic. That's a pretty big number right there. I mean, I don't think anybody else's percentages probably are quite on par with that. I mean, but you're right. But when you look at Richmond has always kind of been a track where the cream rises. I mean, we really haven't seen a lot of quote-unquote upset winners. I mean, maybe Alex Bowman was a little bit of an upset winner there this spring. Obviously, certainly he was a double-digit guy. And this is the night race. You know, now we've gone to where Richmond has a day race and a night race, so we're going to have a little bit of difference
and
there, too.
What did our good friend Mr. Kurt Busch tell us?
His car comes in really well when the tracks are cool, which I think we saw that at the end of the race at Darlington the other night when the sun went down. I think these next two weekends of night races will actually be three consecutive night races.
And is there a name on there on that list that we just showed that has a couple wins at Richmond that's done pretty well there in the past?
That's Kurt Busch.
There you go.
Now, granted, he's it's funny. He hasn't had a lot of top fives for as many starts as he's had there.
Last 10 races, though, average finish of 11, four top tens. Yeah, so, I mean, not a bad place for him still right now. So, I think that there's some names. Ryan Newman on there might be pulling a little bit of a long shot with Ryan Newman's recent performance. But
well, the other guy, that you know, Kyle Larson's only got one win at Richmond, but let's be honest. I mean, this is a different Kyle Larson situation that we're seeing right now. So
But five top tens, two top fives, and a win in those nine races, average finish of 11. So I'm not too concerned about Kyle Larson not being able
to. You know, he's certainly going to be one of the guys to beat. I mean, going into Richmond, I mean, you kind of have to be, right?
He's one to beat every weekend. But the question I have this week, Jeff, when you talk about, we've talked about fours that have had been so poor through most of the season. This is that package. Remember New Hampshire? Kurt Busch was on the radio today talking about New Hampshire, about sister tracks. Well, if you're talking Richmond, you have the Richmond race earlier, and you have the New Hampshire race, which is this package with a similar setup.
I've always kind of compared Richmond more to Phoenix, even though it's a little bit smaller. It's not that much smaller.
So have I. But he was talking about tracks that they consider on the sim and everything to be similar. Well, I went back and did a lot of research through New Hampshire and Richmond. Guess who had a lot of good finishes that didn't have finishes through the season? The Fords. So I think you're going to see a lot of value when we get into the odds. Fords are going to have a little more value than we're used to, and you could probably jump on some of them and get some good numbers.
Well, obviously, that's good news for Kevin Harvick, who really needs to have some good runs, but I think certainly for those Penske cars. And look, we talked about Ryan Blaney. You know, I think he's the hottest Penske guy out there.
He is.
And we'll see how Logano and Keselowski and how those guys, you know, they fare as we go into Richmond. Okay, we're going to hit that first break. Brennan and I will be back, and we'll start talking about the odds to win and the top threes on Gone Racing. Welcome back into Gone Racing. Jeff Motley, Brendan Gaughan, heading into segment two of our new formatted show today. We got through the first break without messing anything up too bad.
Nobody behind the glass has yelled at us yet.
So no, we haven't been yelled at yet, so we're escaping there. We're talking Federated Auto Parts 400 at Richmond International Raceway Saturday night, doubleheader Saturday. Xfinity Series runs earlier in the day, and the trucks run at night. Or the Cup runs at night, which I think we had a doubleheader at Darlington last week. We had trucks, and then we had Cup race.
You run a racetrack. You work at the track. You're one of the big wigs over there. I like this format for the fans. Without practice, without all that stuff, I think you need more activity. And the doubleheaders are kind of nice. I mean, I know there's probably difficulties.
You're gonna
pay
two sanctioning fees and sell one ticket. I'm just telling you, it ain't the easiest thing in the world on the track.
Yeah, some people whining and crying. Never perfect for these people.
I'm just saying that would be a little bit of the challenge, I think.
No, it's definitely a challenge, but I think
especially on a cup, running it on a doubleheader with the Cup Series. I think running an Xfinity truck doubleheader like Atlanta does, I think that works out a little bit better.
Trucks used to do that at Texas years ago with IndyCar.
IndyCar. The IndyCar guys hated it because the trucks ran first and put this different rubber because I think one was running.
It was Firestone rubber that was totally. I remember racing those because we go practice and the first couple laps were like an ice skating rink for us. Yeah,
so, all right. But most people listening to us really don't care.
Let's get to our odds.
Right, so the favorite to win this week, Martin Truex Jr.
Yeehaw.
He obviously runs very well at Richmond. We know that. He won like three in a row there, and I think until Bowman broke his streak this spring. But he comes in the favorite at plus 550. Right behind him, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, plus 650. Joey Logano, plus 700. Kyle Larson, plus 750. Chase Elliott at plus 900. Brad Keselowski, 10 to 1. Kevin Harvick, 11 to 1. Ooh. Christopher Bell, 15. And William Byron, 16. There's a three-time winner in Kevin Harvick. If we think the Fords are going to be better coming in as a double-digit guy, that's pretty strong.
Well, look, I'm looking, you know me, I'm the stat guy, right, Jeff? I'm going back and forth on my stats. And we talked about New Hampshire being one to look at. Kevin Harvick, 11 to 1 right there at New Hampshire, finished sixth in the end, was fourth and second in the stages, which no slouch on that side. And if you go to the Richmond race, Kevin Harvick, he had a bad day that day. They had something go wrong, if I remember right.
We know those days are going to happen, but it's a good number on Harvick.
Yeah, 10 and 5th, and then he got into a wreck with like 15 to go and ended up with a 3 to go wreck where everybody got into a pile. So Kevin Harvick, though, Here's a week I might take a winner because I'm telling you, the Fords are better. Eric Almirola, who is and if we got to the second page of that sheet on the odds to win.
Well, and that's what I want. People that are watching us, by the way, you know we're on YouTube TV now?
All right.
YouTube TV, I think that's a new deal. I think that's a new deal. Yep, YouTube TV. Page two is what I really want to talk about for those of us that are watching.
There's a couple guys right there.
So the defending race winner is 18-1, Alex Bowman. Ryan Blaney, who's one of the hottest guys out there right now. I know Richmond hasn't been his best racetrack, but again, buying into your theory that the Fords are going to run better, 20-1. Eric Almirola, 25-1. Kurt Busch, 30-1. Two-time winner at Richmond, who has been running so well. Tyler Reddick is also 30-1. And then some other guys, I do think it would be a stretch for them to find victory lane. Austin Dillon and Ross Chastain, who coming off a great run at Darlington at 50. Matt DiBenedetto at 60-1. Cole Custer, 80. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 100-1.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ross Chastain, though, was eighth at New Hampshire. So, I mean, maybe not the win, but maybe when we get to the top threes, that could be a nice looking shot right there. He's definitely outperformed what you and I said we thought he would do with the whole Ganassi thing the way it is. But I look at these numbers and I go, okay, Blaney, he's that far for a reason. 10 starts, zero top 10.
Right. He's never run well at Rich. But remember, Alex Bowman hadn't either. And Alex Bowman won in the spring.
And where did I say that about Blaney recently? Was it Darlington or was it the week before where I said, oh, Blaney's never had a good week here?
It was the week before Talladega, were we?
And then he won.
Before Daytona, rather. It was the week before Daytona, Michigan.
And then he went out and won Michigan. So, I mean, you know, Blaney can pull that out. But I definitely think the Fords, I told you, there's going to be some great numbers for some Fords in the win the race. And the Fords have been strong. And Eric Almirola, he didn't just win New Hampshire. He dominated New Hampshire.
Absolutely.
And you look at 25-1, Eric Almirola, can he run another good one, run it back well? Huh? I mean, there's a guy right there, 25-1, Jeff, that I don't dislike.
Well, and I think your whole point is maybe some of these guys, when you talk about Almirola, you're talking about Blaney, some of those, Ralph Chastain, we start talking about these top threes. And I think that's going to be a very interesting number. So let's look at the top threes right now. We've got Martin Trix Jr. clearly at plus 180, not a big number for him. Plus 200s on Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch. Plus 230, Joey Logano. Plus 280, Kyle Larson. That's a pretty good number, I think, on Kyle Larson. Chase Elliott plus 300. Brad Kay at 330. Harvick 360. And Byron and Bowman both at plus 450.
You're reigning race winner at 450.
You know, one of the things. You know, and I tell you, they're very fortunate. William Byron, Alex Bowman, Kyle Busch, all those guys, they're really fortunate that the 16 playoff drivers get the first 16 starting positions because after what happened to them at Darlington, they'd be lucky to be starting in the top 25. So that's certainly going to be a big break for them. And there were so many playoff guys who had trouble that they're still only going to be about 11th, 12th, 13th. And I haven't seen the starting lineup, but they're going to be in that area.
Well, but we didn't talk much about it in our first segment, but, you know, the guys outside looking in that we were not expecting, Kyle Busch 2 points out, Byron 9 points out. I think Reddick and McDowell we kind of somewhat expected. But, I mean, Eric Almirola 3 in, Chase Elliott only 3 in, Christopher Bell only 3 in, 5 in. It's going to be tight. Those are guys who are looking for a good run. Can they get it here?
Well, and then we look at the second page of our top three. Christopher Bell at a plus 500. Ryan Blaney coming in at a plus 650. Eric Almirola plus 800. Kurt Busch is 10-1. Tyler Reddick 10-1. Austin Dillon 11. Ross Chastain 14. There was a guy you talked about. Matt DiBenedetto at 16. Cole Custer at 25. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr. at 35. Man, I tell you, I'm looking at Kurt Busch at 10-1, Ross Chastain at 14-1, double digits for a top three.
Look, I'm looking back, like I said, I'm looking at the two races. I'm looking at the last Richmond. Christopher Bell was fourth, and he was sixth and ninth in the stages. Eric Almirola finished sixth. He was 10th in one of the stages. These are races that it's the same track. It's going to cool down.
Do you think there's going to be a big difference between a day race and a night race?
Yeah, look, it's just that you gain speed, you gain grip. So there is a difference. But going back to Christopher Bell, how about at New Hampshire? Second place finish. Remember, he was catching Eric Almirola at the end of the race. So, I mean, you're telling me Seabell is up there at a plus 500. He's had two top five finishes at the two tracks that are kind of related to this racetrack. I might be fairly heavy on Seabell this week. I'm going to be fairly heavy. I might even go Eric Almirola in a top three there because even though the problem with Eric Almirola is you never know which one's going to show up, so he's always a riskier bet. But when he shows up, The man shows up to play.
Well, and I think one of the hard things that we run into when we talk about top threes, I mean, let's be honest, there's only three guys only three that can guys get can those get top threes.
And Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. are all pretty good shots
well,
for
me. Well, we know
three.
Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson are going to be starting up front, and that's important on a short track.
Yep.
You know, on a short track, getting out front early, and you can start clicking off some laps in a hurry. I mean, we're only talking about 400 laps. That is not a long race, just like when they go 500 laps at Bristol the following week. I mean, those races can run in under 3 hours. I mean, they're getting by pretty quickly.
Listen, this racetrack, the nice thing about Richmond is it is multi-groove. And at night, those grooves, you know, they do widen out a little better because they get some speed. They end up getting that top, those upper grooves kind of run in a little bit more, you know, Motley. But it is a fun racetrack, and I do believe that there are some great numbers in this top three. I may be foreshadowing my bets here, but I think I'm probably going to go fairly heavy top three, just hoping that I don't get a Martin Truex, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch top three.
Well,
but I think that there's some good, we can get a couple of those here with some good shots.
All right. Well, since we are in our new format, we're kind of adjusting what we're doing and what segment. You want to get started on some driver head-to-heads?
We might have to end halfway through. We'll jump into them.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes to go here. But I tell you, first thing I see on these driver head-to-heads, big numbers. Against Martin Truex Jr. Now, Martin Truex Jr., I know he's really good at Richmond, but he hasn't been really good of late, really anywhere. It's not really stood out. On the don't line, Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin plus 105, Logano plus 110, Kyle Busch plus 130, and Brad Keselowski plus 140. Kyle Busch plus 130 against Martin Truex is minus 150.
That's a heck of a number for Kyle Busch. I mean, look, you can't go to New Hampshire because they had their dueling spins on lap five with the rain. But, you know, you look back, Martin Truex did finish fifth, Kyle seventh, very tight. That's a big number for a very tight run there. I think that Kyle Busch at plus 130 is a fun and a pretty achievable number. I'd look at these and I kind of go around, I look and say, Christopher Bell, Kevin Harvick. But, man, I really think Kevin Harvick's going to have a good day. And that C-Bell number, though, he's been so strong at those races I've named. There's some intriguing stuff here for a better, Jeff.
Well, and I think it's a little surprising to see head-to-heads, and you don't see Kyle Larson's name anywhere on the head-to-head board.
I see Chase Elliott.
At all.
I don't see
Chase Elliott on a head-to-head board up there right now. Do we even have Kurt Busch on a head-to-head board? I don't think we have Kurt Busch on a head-to-head matchup. So it's a little bit different this week, and I guess the way I look at it is Martin Truex Jr. is really not impressing me yet.
If you do it, don't line. Take some money.
All right, we'll finish up these driver head-to-heads when we come back on Gone Racing. Welcome back into Gone Racing. Jeff Motley alongside Brendan Gaughan. We're breaking down the Federated Auto Parts 400 at Richmond International Raceway. Brendan's least favorite track on the circuit?
Least
favorite?
By calling it my least favorite, I think you're doing it justice.
Or an injustice to other least favorite tracks, maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
But now I will say this. I have not seen it yet. You know, I've been out of the sport for a little bit now. But so I guess the new garage area, the new Richmond
fan area.
Yeah. I hear spectacular things about it. They just like Phoenix, they have done an amazing job. Hey, what track kind of started that whole trend of building really cool garages, Jeff?
Yeah, it might have been here in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
and that was in 2007.
That was the start of building cool garages for all these racetracks. So if you're a fan, there's a couple places you want to go if you're looking for the fan experience. Vegas with the neon garage, Daytona, the way they've redone the Daytona garages and everything. But now supposedly Phoenix and Richmond are two of the most amazing garage areas we have. So just as a fan, I do want to see it.
You know, I remember
filled with water.
When we opened the neon garage in Vegas, Jeff Burton, one thing he says, you know what is cool about this? He goes, I'm sure a lot of the drivers aren't all going to necessarily like the fact that everybody's going to be right on top of them. But he said, you know what's cool? He goes, the race teams almost never really, the fans never really get to see how hard they work.
They work.
And he says this is an opportunity where the guys that are working on that car really gain the respect from the race fans because they can see how much they put into it and how much is going on. And he thought that was kind of cool.
We're the monkeys in the cage. You got the glass window on the side. You got the glass up top with the balcony. You can see in all areas of the garage area.
I think I'm not even going to use the exact words that Tony Stewart used to describe it, but I do believe I asked Tony, I said, oh, so how much did you have to pay to get in here? And, now Tony promotes his own racetrack at Eldora. It's amazing how his tone has changed. You wanted to talk about one of the head-to-head matchups before we move into the group, so I'm going to give you the floor.
Yeah, well, we were looking over the sheet, and like we said, the don't line of Martin Truex. You know, we always pick a guy every week that we look at that they basically give us the opportunity to do the don'ts on. But the last pick on this sheet is William Byron versus Alex Bowman. If you're watching VSiN, if you're, you know, many of the ways, and you see the TV side of it, plus 110 for Alex Bowman, minus 130 for William Byron. Who won the last race again, Jeff?
Alex Bowman.
Alex Bowman. William Byron finished seventh. Great run for him. But if you look at that head-to-head number, that's the last winner at this racetrack as a plus line.
Well, and it's a history thing, I think, because Alex Bowman's races until this past spring have been awful. At Richmond.
And even if I go back, remember I've been bragging about the New Hampshire thing. Alex Bowman was ninth in that race. William Byron was 21st.
And New Hampshire was his other most hated track.
So
Alex Bowman's two least favorite, the two tracks he hates the most are New Hampshire and Richmond.
And he's got two good runs this year. So
maybe his attitude will be improving on
So this. There's a 110 that I really do like that I wanted to zero people in on.
All right, let's move on into our group picks. We're going to start in Group A, Martin Truex Jr., who's the favorite to win the race. No big surprise, comes in there at plus 250. Denny Hamlin, who won last week's race at Darlington, at plus 265. Joey Logano, plus 280. And a guy that really needs a good run, Kyle Busch, plus 295. Six-time winner at Richmond. Man, you're going to leave a six-time winner hanging out there on the board at plus 295? Wow.
He's going up against some pretty big stuff there. And you know, Denny Hamlin finally off the schneid. Can that continue? But I don't know, Kyle Busch back up against the wall, you know, coming off that goofy penalty and all the stuff. We don't care to talk about it on this show.
I don't think that's going to have any effect on his racing ability this weekend.
What have I always said though about Kyle Busch, whether he gets practice, right, and that whole thing, or when you really get the old Kyle Busch, the old fiery, pissed off Kyle Busch, things tend to happen.
And he might be really pissed off this week. Can we say that on this?
We can say, well, I think I said an even bigger word a couple weeks ago as Ann is giving me the dirty look from behind the glass. So I'm sure pissed off is not going to piss her off as bad as it did with what I said last week.
Well, I guess it must be okay now that we've said it four times in about 30 seconds here on this. Well, and we're going to say that once again this year, too. I tell you, I like Kyle Busch a lot here. The only concern I have is, there's three Gibbs cars in that Group A, you know, and I understand those three guys, they're teammates, but at the end of the day, they're kind of all out there running their own
race. Those three guys, yeah.
Those three guys are out there running their own race. But I think Kyle Busch is a pretty good pick here.
I mean, so do I.
And like I said, the mad Kyle Busch.
Is the Kyle Busch.
The only thing that $50,000 is going to depend on whether he might decide to drive to Richmond instead of flying the plane.
No, I don't think it'll change that even.
I don't know. It's not a long drive back, but. Anyway, we'll move on to Group B. Now, Brad Keselowski is the favorite here at plus 240, followed by Kevin Harvick, plus 255, Kyle Larson, and I pause on his name, at plus 295, and Christopher Bell at plus 305. Well, you know exactly what I'm thinking.
I've got no clue. I mean, look.
Kyle Larson in a Group B at any track on the circuit this year for the remainder of the season, I think you have to make a run at it.
I'm looking at stats, and I get that, you know, Brad Keselowski third at New Hampshire, and Brad Keselowski was not very good. He was 14th at Richmond last time. I don't see why they have him as a favorite in that one. That has me scratching my head. I've already told you how much I think about Christopher Bell at this racetrack. I've told you what I think about Kevin Harvick this week at that racetrack. And we all know Kyle Larson is in Group B at 295. So my problem is I have too many guys I want to bet in that group.
You really have too many guys you want to bet in Group B?
See Bell, Kevin Harvick. I think that, you know.
When you see plus 295 on Kyle Larson in a Group B, do you not think this, it's right there for the taking for him?
I do. I think that Kevin Harvick and Steve Bell have proven with this kind of sister package that they've been pretty darn good.
Well, okay, I'll give you that, but I like the Larson pick. So I guess I'm foreshadowing maybe my picks in the final segment too. All right, let's move along to Group C, where we've got Chase Elliott and William Byron are the co-favorites at plus 245. Then that guy, Alex Bowman, we've talked about him a lot on the show today, at plus 265. And I'm not surprised that Ryan Blaney is the long shot here in Group C, but Ryan Blaney is coming in at a plus 350. Now, there are long shots, and then there are plus 350 long shots.
Yeah.
That's wow.
That's pretty stout. I mean, but here's my thing. I'm looking at our reigning champion and the guy that we have talked about this year as one of the two best teams over at Hendrick, which has been the best team, is in Group C. You just made the argument
Kyle
Larson.
We've got three Hendrick cars in Group C here.
But you made the argument for Kyle Larson in Group B. Chase Elliott in Group C?
Well, I like that. I like that. I wish the numbers were a little higher, but plus 245 is not bad. That plus 350 for Ryan Blaney is just
pretty high.
Just making me almost shake my head a little bit.
The only thing I say is history says 10 races, zero top tens. But you look at the New Hampshire race, he was pretty good. You look at how he's done every time I've said that this year, he's been stellar. So, but I just, Chase Elliott in Group C, come on. I mean, Kyle Larson in Group C, Chase Elliott in Group C.
But who's the guy who likes to talk about momentum?
And Blaney has some momentum,
and you've got to believe he's going into this with some confidence. I'm not sitting here telling you I'm going out on a limb and I'm going to pick Blaney, but I just think at the plus 350, I think
the odds makers are doing what they're supposed to do. They're enticing us with that bet.
Now let's move into Group D, where we find our guy who basically wins his group almost every week. And I don't know when they're going to start putting him in a higher group. But I hope they don't. Kurt Busch and Austin Dillon coming in as co-favorites at plus 265. Kurt's teammate, Ross Chastain, coming off a top three finish at Darlington at plus 275. And Matt DiBenedetto at plus 280. I think this comes down between the two Ganassi cars.
Well, and we had kind of all but phoned it in for old Ross Chastain, you know, saying that we didn't think much was going to happen. And he made us, you know, eat some crow on that one. Will he continue that trend? The two races in this package this year, he was great. I think that's going to be Kurt's toughest, competitor in this group. But I, until Kurt Busch doesn't cash tickets, you know, our great leader, our fearless leader, old Brent Musburger, you know, cashing tickets is his thing. Kurt Busch this year, if you bet him every week, you would be way ahead.
Well, and again, this is a night race.
He's been bragging
about
it.
Cooler racetracks. Kurt's been bragging about how well his car's done when the sun goes down. Or if, you know, at Atlanta, you know, he ran so well at Atlanta, and it was because it was cloud cover all day. The sun really never came out and hit that racetrack. I mean, he might have been the fastest car on the racetrack. He came all the way from the back to get up and finish sixth. So I think you got to, again, I'm with you. Until somebody beats Kurt in his group, I'd say you keep betting Kurt. So, all right, moving on to Group E, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Chris Buescher, and Daniel Suarez are all plus 270, and Ryan Newman at plus 275. You know, you kind of throw a blanket all over all of them. Stenhouse is probably the guy that seems to have done, has done the best of those four guys at Richmond, because certainly Newman has great numbers, but Newman just hasn't really done much lately.
Buescher coming off the good run last weekend. You know, that kind of gives you a little bit maybe on him. Just a tough one there. The only one, you know, Chris Buescher's been running probably the best out of all those guys. Suarez occasionally, but I don't know. That to me, I got no feeling on any of those. I'm kind of in a...
I think I'm going to stay away from that Group E.
Daniel Suarez has Gibbs stats there, so it's tough to read those. But.
All right. We'll do Group F. When we come back, we'll give you our picks as well. Want to rewatch any part of today's show or any past show? Check us out at VSiN.com/subscribe. And there are multiple ways for you to watch. We're available on Fubo, Sling, iHeartMedia, and you can access us on your Alexa devices. We're also on YouTube TV now, Brendan. And for all the ways to watch and listen, go to VSiN.com/subscribe today. Jeff Motley, Brendan Gaughan, back on Gaughan Racing. Got through the promo read much better than we did the last 2 weeks.
Last couple weeks. Although I noticed, hey, you want to know how we can tell we're getting old?
Because I had to take my glasses off in order to read it. See, I'm the guy that has to take – I can't read with my glasses on. So I need them to be able to drive and see things that are far away. You know, I can see the whiskers on your face from here with the glasses on, you know.
I see every little gray that's in there.
So
I shaved yesterday. I'm in the South Point. I'm supposed to be clean shaven.
Well, okay. Well, you know. Well, when we tape this show, you have the noon shadow, I guess we're going to call it that, right? So, yeah, you're a hairy beast. So, compared to some of us.
Dead sexy, I'm just saying.
Okay, well.
Dead sexy. Okay. I ate my vegetables when
I was
a kid.
Well, we are really digressing now.
Yes, we are. We've gone down the rabbit hole. Let's just get back to the odds and save ourselves.
Back, our last group matchup, Group F, is we got Bubba Wallace as our favorite. That was quite a segue, wasn't it? Eric Jones plus 265. Chase Briscoe plus 285, and Michael McDowell, the only playoff guy in there, plus 295. Brendan, you can go look up all your stats on Eric Jones and how well he ran with Gibbs.
No, I was leaving Eric Jones out.
So threw that one out. You know, Chase Briscoe kind of like disappointed me a little bit last week. I expected him to run a little bit better at Darlington than he did. He was in a group that I picked, and Cole Custer had a much better run, although we have Cole Custer in a group this week. So, be honest with you, I don't like anybody in Group F.
Yeah, I mean, you're slim pickings there as far as what I'm looking at, and I'm trying to go back. Eric Jones, we've stouted those stats how many times this year that Eric Jones was, you know, had great finishes at this track, and then, you know, the equipment now. But what I will look at is, what have you done for me lately? Chase Briscoe has been running the best out of all those people in that group. But if I go back to the two races I've been focusing on, Eric Jones would have won both of those groups at Richmond 1 and New Hampshire. So take it for what it's worth. Chase Briscoe, Eric Jones, to me, they're my two favorites in that group. It's hard to split that, but nobody really has been running great in that group. And then you have a championship contender, of course, and Michael McDowell. He's in there.
And he's already in a winner-go-home after crashing out at Darlington. It's probably not looking very good for him right there.
It's a little rough.
So probably going to stay away from that one. So, well, now we're getting into our picks a little earlier. Now, we have to
– See, this is what I don't like about this new format at the moment.
Because we're spending too much time talking about the picks.
Well, about how bad somebody has been doing this. Now, here's the deal. My fantasy show with Pete Pistone, Motley, I'm killing it. I've been top 50 the last 3 weeks in the fantasy league. I am killing fantasy.
How much you get paid for fantasy?
I get paid more than this show.
Well, that's not my point.
Oh. But,
you know, you can win money betting on this. I don't know if you win as much.
Oh, you're talking
fantasy.
About what we bet. Sorry. No.
But All right, so, Brendan, I tend to want to focus on the positives. So let's give the pit crew.
The pit crew has been a huge positive.
So last week, the pit crew got 4 out of 5 right. They had Denny Hamlin beating Kyle Larson head-to-head. They went all in on Kevin Harvick over William Byron, as well as having Harvick to win Group B, and they kind of went with us on the Kurt Busch Group C. We all thought it was a no-brainer. Kurt's Group C, they only lost one the whole time, and that was in a Group D where Austin Dillon had a top 10 because Ross Chastain finished third, was in that group. So the pit crew certainly had a great opportunity. Kind of you were a hard luck loser a little bit with that Group D pick on Austin Dillon as well.
When I saw it, I was like, Austin Dillon, all right. I got my Austin Dillon winner. And I go, how the heck did he lose Group D, you know, finishing 10th? Ross Chastain had a hell of a run.
He did, coming in there. So my picks last week, I was on the plus side. Got the win with Alex Bowman over William Byron going head-to-head, which I thought when the two of them actually got into a crash together, I thought, oh, goodness gracious.
But guess what? The one was in front of the other when they crashed, so you got the W. I mean, right. Hey, way to go.
And then I got the layup on Kurt Busch, and your only win last week was the layup on Kurt Busch, although, you are a hard luck loser there on Dillon. Briscoe really wasn't in the running, and Chase Elliott had a
rough night. Yeah, but I thought Briscoe to win Group F. I thought I had that, man.
Well, I'd like Chase Briscoe, too, in Group F. In fact, you'll see I picked that as well and lost. But Cole Custer had a strong run. Cole Custer finished 11th in the race. Briscoe came in about 17th or 18th and was able to get the win.
Those are the two that I thought I had the win. And, of course, the pit crew made you do math last week. They took a minus number, which Motley hates it when you go on a minus number because it makes him actually have to, like, take his shoes off, use fingers and toes.
Yeah, that's what the calculator function for on the cell phone these days. So, all right, so let's get into our picks for this week. The pit crew gets to go first. So the pit crew, Let's put it this way. That's all I'm going to say before I read the pit crews. Your name either better be Bush or Kyle, because that's all they've picked are Bushes and Kyles.
Okay.
So they're taking Kyle Busch to win at plus 650.
Like it.
Kyle Larson for a plus for a top three at plus 280.
And we said that. That's a good number on a top three. Yeah, 280 on a top three for Kyle Larson. I like it.
Now, Kurt Busch also for a top three at 10-1. Kyle Larson to win Group B at plus 295, and Kurt Busch to win Group D at plus 265. So if I can keep my Kurtz and my Kyles and my Bushes straightened out when I'm figuring this up at the end, this is almost like saying the Bushy McBush
Bushy McBush race. We already forgot what it was. But look, Kurt Busch, I think you're going to see a common thread between all three of our picks. I think you're going to see a couple more Kurt Busches in Group D when it comes down.
Well, you might. I think we're all going to ride that train until that train hits a station or hits or somebody blows up a bridge, right?
Flog it, baby.
All right. So my picks this week, I'm going with Kyle Larson for a top three at plus 280. So I'm in agreement with the pit crew. In fact, the pit crew and I are pretty locked in on a few of these here. I'm going to go Kyle Busch on that head-to-head with Martin Truex Jr.
Okay.
Plus 130 for Kyle Busch there. And then my other three picks will be in the groups. Yes, I'm going with the Kyles. Kyle Busch, plus 295 in Group A. Kyle Larson, plus 295 in Group B. And then Kurt Busch in Group D at plus 265. So, there's some lot of crossover. A lot of Bushes, Kurtz, and Kyles. Bushes and Kyles in mine. So
I am going to be differentiated from you all this week a lot. Because here's my problem. I can't plus 130 my way out of the hole.
You need to 50-1 your way out of a hole.
I need one of the big – I need to take some shots here. And I don't need Martin Truex to win a race or Denny Hamlin to win a race. So I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I said I think the Fords are going to be good this week. And Denny Hamlin knocked himself off that schneid he's been on. Kevin Hamlin.
He's a crew chief, isn't
Thank
he?
You.
Or a spotter.
No, he's a spotter.
Spotter.
No. The other one was a crew chief. Kevin Harvick to win the race, 11-1. I said that I like Kevin to win, so I'm going Kevin to give me an 11-1 shot. Hopefully that'll get me back a few units. And
still won't get you out of last.
Man. My next two are going to be in the top threes, and I like two of them on that second page that I've talked about the whole time. I liked Christopher Bell at plus 500. And I liked Eric Almirola at plus 800. I think they proved to me on those two tracks I've bragged about that they've just been very good at those places. So I'm jumping on those two. And then I'm going to do kind of the same thing that we all have, but I'm doing two in the groups, C and D. I got Chase Elliott in a Group C. Come on. You can't put Chase Elliott in Group C and think I can't take him. 245, I'm going there. And I'm doing Kurt Busch with the rest of us, Group D, plus 265. Until Kurt stops cashing tickets, I'm riding that horse all the way out.
Yeah, Kurt probably, based on odds, is probably, if you had bet a dollar on Kurt Busch every week, he's probably the guy that would have won you the most money. Now, yes. Maybe not to win every week or the top threes.
No,
but
just if you bet him in his group or a head-to-head, yeah. You would have probably been way ahead. The groups especially. Well, we have been making a ton of wins on him in the group matchups. He has been killing his groups.
Well, and it'd be interesting to kind of go back and and see how he does. But all right, we got just under a couple minutes left since our new format. We've done pretty good on our timing. Now let's talk a little bit about where we're at this weekend. We're at Richmond. I know it's a track that you're not a big fan of, but tell me, what is it about Richmond that makes it so difficult, and why is it a track that guys like Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin and some of those guys excel?
Look, it's a place, even though I don't like it, that doesn't mean that it's something that we shouldn't race at. It's a phenomenal racetrack. It's heavy, heavy braking, high speeds. It's a short track with a super speedway feel, a la Irwindale on the West Coast, but even faster, even bigger. And they do an amazing job of putting on a great show there. It's just, for me, I found every way to do it wrong. Even in my top 10 finishes I had there, I sent a kid to the hospital, burned him up on a pit stop, and I got wrecked after the checkered flag by Bobby Hamilton Sr. So even my good days were bad. But in the end, this is a track I never want them to get rid of. Phenomenal racetrack, great racing, and just tough, man. That coming off turn two, you got to turn the wheel so much. It's a tough place to drive.
Well, we got a big 3 weeks of racing coming up here just because we've got two short tracks with Richmond and with Bristol, and then we get to come here to Las Vegas South Point 400. And it sounds like next week we won't have you around to break down Richmond, Bristol. You'll be down in Baja. But we will be back next week. At least I'll be back next week. I'll have somebody with me. I don't know who. On Gone Racing. See you next week.